Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It's here, Peloton's best offer of the season. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton Tread. Choose from accessories like a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, yoga blocks, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. Hurry, Peloton's best offer of the season is here, but not for long. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
And the only reason why I really say no is I was bored by the character. you were so afraid to even make him a good bad guy that you just made him weak. You made him lame. You made him get his ass beat. Every other episode, he makes poor business. He doesn't even make good business decisions. Like he's an awful crime lord.
Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the what episode will this be? Actually, I think like 67, episode 67
really?
of news Cantina, not including our reviews. But right. Yeah, welcome to the Cantina here on the Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcast from, as well as the Genreverse Podcast Network on YouTube. So you can watch us in wonderful video format there. We are part of the big LRMonline.com family, so please do check them out every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions. I'm Kyle. That's Cam. Shockey's not here. That's okay, because we still can talk Star Wars. And it's more likely it'll be somewhat more harmonious, although it was crazy last week. If you missed last week, we had a moment where Cam and I were against Shockey, and then literally the next moment it's Shockey and I against Cam, and it was great. It was a lot of fun, and that those are the types of conversations I like with Star Wars, where there is no there's very few, like, you know, bold black lines and or red lines in the sand. There's always like this, I can get this, but I can't get that type mentality. So yeah, check us out. Today though, we've got a few things that I think Cam and I might disagree on a bit. Potential season twoses in the future for a couple of projects.
Right. Yep.
One of those being the Book of Boba Fett. And, you know, that was one of those that was one of those shows that we had had high hopes, and of course people did have expectations, and it was one that how would Janet word it? I think Janet would word it subverted expectations, Cam.
that would be a very political way of saying it. Like, if you were a politician and you were trying to not say it wasn't that great, you know, that might be a way to do that. Yeah, Janet might do that. I don't know.
Yeah. But, you and I definitely, there were things that we liked and things that we disliked.
We didn't always like and dislike the same things either. But for the same reason. We tended to get kind of pissed off about the same things, though. You know, the things that really kind of pissed us off a little bit, you know, like some of the design, some of the way the action was shot, you know, some of these kind of issues. I think we were pretty much agreed that it just wasn't that good, was it?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. So the idea of a season two was, you know, floated around immediately at the airing of the first, you know, two episodes or three, however many they gave us, and all the way through until today. And now we're getting some rumors from a relatively reliable source, although they do put out a lot and see what hits. They got some really good hits, though. Good track record overall. Cam, why don't you tell us about the latest stuff?
Yeah, sure. And I'll tell you, this came from Daniel Rickman, Daniel RPK, but it was on his Patreon service, and that's not to say that stuff's not, you know, made up or anything like that. That's not what I'm trying to say, but sometimes what he puts on there is the stuff he hasn't been able to kind of maybe double or triple verify, right? So what he's heard ultimately is that they are going ahead with a Book of Boba Fett season two. It's being developed. That's kind of one of the rumors he's heard. That's the first I've kind of genuine, you know, news I've heard about anybody saying anything about, you know, there was plans to make a second season of Boba Fett. There was certainly a lot of fan speculation about it, in terms of whether there would, whether there wouldn't, whether his story would just come into the rest of the stuff that's going in that Mandoverse timeline, you know, which is, we've got a lot of new shows coming out as well, but at the same time, you kind of don't feel like the story was finished, you know. In some ways, it wasn't really even started, you know, in terms of what I was looking for from certainly, and I think you're probably similar, what we were thinking about, you know. So I remember before we got to watching it, you and I were hoping for almost The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite R-rated, but, you know.
Yeah, definitely. We're not shocky. We don't want R-rated Star Wars. You and I are good on that.
And, you know, that kind of side of things. But, you know, about the criminal side, about the underworld and characters that were possibly anti-heroes. And I think it would be fair to say the show didn't really kind of live up to those expectations, and that despite the fact that, I mean, for me, it's got the best sort of 40-odd minutes of Star Wars since Return of the Jedi in, what was it, episode? It was seven episodes, so episode six, that would have been.
Yeah,
it was six, the one with Luke and Grogu and all that sort of stuff. But it wasn't an episode of The Book of Boba Fett. You know, Boba Fett wasn't even in that episode at all. So, you know, it's hard to then say, well, as much as I loved that episode, I didn't love The Book of Boba Fett and the story that they were telling us there. So I think it is slightly a surprise that they're pushing ahead, if that's true, if it's a true kind of rumour, obviously. In terms of officially, we've heard not really anything. Ming-Na Wen, who plays obviously one of the lead roles within Book of Boba Fett, kind of was asked about it at a recent fan expo kind of thing, and she'd said kind of that, cut a long story short, she said really keen, really hope it does happen, but you know, we've not heard anything yet, which really tells us nothing, you know, because if she had heard, she wouldn't be allowed to tell us about it until it was announced. So she wouldn't say anything, she would say that anyway. And if she really was just hoping to get that call, and whether they had made the decision or not, they might not have told her yet, you know, kind of thing. So it really doesn't get, we don't have any official information, so no idea when or how this might come about, but the rumour's out there now anyway that there's a possibility of a Book of Boba Fett season 2. So I guess the question is, Kel, should there be a Book of Boba Fett season 2 in your opinion?
No. I mean, no. Is the story done? No, but could it be told in other shows? Yeah, sure. And the only reason why I really say no is I was bored by the character. Mm-hmm. You were so afraid to even make him a good bad guy that you just made him weak. You made him lame. You made him get his ass beat every other episode. He makes poor business. Like, he doesn't even make good business decisions. Like, he's an awful crime lord, and because of that,
yeah.
I don't care to see anymore.
If he became a better crime boss, you know, and more of the kind of mold that we were looking for. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is the ideas that we had even before we watched Boba Fett are still attainable, right?
Yeah, they are.
But it would need the show to take a real serious change in direction. Mm-hmm. One of the things I mean by that is I do not think Robert Rodriguez, as much as I liked his episode in The Mandalorian, which introduced Boba Fett, his style wasn't right for that show. And one of the common things, one of the common criticisms...
It could have been.
Yeah, but it wasn't... The problem was, you know... There's two sides of Robert Rodriguez. There's Desperado,
yeah,
you know,
and Spy Kids,
and the Spy Kids, you know, and that and that side of things. And you know, that's it's not my kind of thing. It's not for adults. But,
no,
you know,
it is what it is. Fine, love it. Yeah,
that felt more. Bupacabuffet felt more Spy Kids and Desperado to me, and that was not what we needed from a show about Boba Fett. I wanted.
No.
Something probably, you know, kind of like what it looks like we're getting from Andor, Kyle, to be perfectly honest with you, in terms of a more mature show, showing the kind of bad guys a little bit more. And, you know, that's kind of where they should be going with Boba Fett as a character.
You would think.
And if they doubled down and darkened up a season 2 and, you know, had them go off world as well, you know, have some proper conflict, some shit going down, some mysteries to solve in terms of what crime lords up to this and that and who's trying to get one over them, and maybe even to have them be a bit ruthless from time to time, you know, when required, you know, not necessarily he's not out there, you know, cutting down kids or anything like that, I'm talking about, you know, being ruthless with the enemies who are also bad guys. You know, it could theoretically work.
Anything could theoretically work, but do you trust them to actually deliver? Blaster to your head, Cam? Do they deliver a better version? Do they correct course?
Well, it depends if they've listened to the feedback really and really took it on board. Because you know what we have to remember is, as much as I can say criticize maybe some of the direction, some of the style of Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Script was written by Jon Favreau. It's his story.
Oh, I do not give any of them
and we,
pass.
We like what Favreau's doing with his other shows and Filoni as well so far. But I just, you know, it just felt like Mando 2.1, you know, kind of thing. That's all it was to me, with a few extra bits of Boba Fett thrown in. And there was some small aspects that worked, but there was a lot of things that didn't work. And it's up to them if they take that criticism on board and think, right, what do we want this show to be? Do we want this to be shit, or do we want it to be the darker side of the Mandoverse, if you like? You know what I mean? The kind of criminal side of that world that they're building. And that's what they should do. But whether they do that or not, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But that would be my concerns. If we just get more of the same, I'd rather they just didn't bother.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And here's the other one. So you and I kind of agree on that one. Don't bother with it. You can carry things on in other ways, but you'd have to do a lot of changes. Now let's talk about one. I'm not quite sure. It's been a few months now. I'm not quite sure how you're going to land on the idea of Kenobi season two now, like more Kenobi stuff. So you wrote the piece that's up over at lrmonline.com, of course, right now. Talk about what Ewan McGregor said, and what are your thoughts now a couple months post Kenobi?
Sure. So McGregor had appeared kind of just really last weekend, if you like, and he was at Comic-Con in Texas, and he was asked, as you would imagine, about whether there could be more Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it's not like this is the first time we've heard this. We've been hearing it ever since the series was on air. Will there be a second series? Is it just going to be a kind of limited series or not? Which is, we know that it was never designed for it to be a story that's told over two seasons. So what it comes down to now, ultimately, I think, is whether someone has a good enough idea for another story involving Obi-Wan Kenobi, if you like. So in terms of what Ewan McGregor said, he said, "I'm totally up for it, guys. I want to do it." I was asked if there was any solid plans in place, but he did say no. He said, "I'm absolutely honest. There's no plan to make one yet." However, he did say he kind of thinks it's only a matter of time. He says, "But I think I'm pretty sure they're just biding their time. But nobody's approached me as of yet," which kind of makes sense, because one of the things we've heard him and others say previously is there's no point in doing it unless they think they've got a good idea. So if nobody's come up with what that good idea is yet, it's kind of too early to say let's push ahead with an Obi-Wan Kenobi season two. But we've talked about this before as well, Kel. Financially, they're going to do it. They're going to do it because it was popular. And it did well marketing wise. It was, you know, people were talking about it.
Did it sell stuff? I haven't looked at like merchandise numbers in a long time, and I don't even know if any would be out for that yet. But
hard to say on that front. It seemed to get a big viewership in terms of we don't get exact numbers, but everybody seems to be kind of pretty happy with it. Yeah. At Lucasfilm and Disney in general. So the question you asked is, should there be, and what would I think? I don't think I've really changed my opinion. I think I'm okay with more Obi-Wan Kenobi stories, but with caveats. You know, there's conditions as part of that for me. If Vader is in it, the two of them can't meet each other again. So would have to come up with a story that tells both of them are involved in the same story but never cross each other's paths, you know, kind of thing. That could be done. But you kind of think, why then? You know, why use Vader again? And the other kind of caveat of mine is no more Leia as well. I think they've pushed as far as they can on that.
At least her and Obi-Wan interacting.
Yeah, correct. So I've not got a problem with seeing more Leia in something else, like an older version at some point. It's still a character that had a life, you know, and
Rebel, Alliance. What's the word I'm looking for? Agent Leia in Andor. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Andor season two.
Yeah. Not against that at all. It's the her and Obi-Wan kind of thing together again, which I think they've pushed that as far as they can. You would say they pushed it too much. I would say they didn't quite push. My issues with Obi-Wan Kenobi were not. I had some of the same issues with you, but they weren't in that respect. You know, I thought they kind of. They pushed the boundaries but didn't quite burst through the bubble. But, you know, that is a matter of opinion and yours is different. So that is my thing. I'm not against it, but it can't just be season two of the same thing. Vader is after Obi-Wan again. Leia's in danger again. I think if that's the case, just don't do it. But what I'm hearing from them is there has to be a really good idea. And I'm hoping people are intelligent enough to understand that if somebody just come back and said, I've got a great idea to put all three of them back into the mix again. That went, no, that's that. We said great idea, not really fucking bad idea. So no, your pitch is not approved.
You know, when they all say they haven't heard anything, of course they've heard something. Whether that was, hey, we are interested, we're just waiting to see, you know, does the financials pan out, you know? I also think something that they're probably really waiting on is to see people's reaction to Ahsoka. Because Mr. Christensen is supposed to be in that, and you and I have had...
I don't think it's supposed to be anymore. I think it's... Well, yeah,
he is. He is. But you and I are both very afraid of the possibilities given the world between worlds and what Ahsoka is doing in the current timeline as is. And, oh my God, it's awful to talk about timelines in Star Wars even. Like... It's very scary, and so I have a feeling that Obi-Wan Season 2 and how much little or how much more of Obi-Wan we might get in or not Obi-Wan, but Obi-Wan and our Vader we might get in a Season 2. I think they're kind of waiting on some of that to hammer out their finalized plans. And like I said, or like you said, they definitely want to do it for money purposes and all that. I just don't necessarily know if they've got a set idea yet. And that's almost super scary. You know, the fact that they might not have they might not know what the hell they want to do. And they're going to green light something anyways, you know?
Yeah, that's what worries me is like, well, we need to do it quick before, you know, Ewan's too old and, you know, well, people are still buzzing about Obi-Wan Kenobi. I've got an idea. I've got an idea for them. I would bring in like a criminal organization, like a Crimson Dawn or something like that. Or Black Sun, Prince, you know, Caesar, or whatever you pronounce it, that kind of side of things. I think that would be a good idea. Bring in a third party who... Maybe like Obi-Wan's doing his training with Qui-Gon, he gets caught up in something that he has to make a decision about, and he gets caught up in this task. Vader is kind of involved in it as well, but from a completely different angle. Do you know what I mean? So it's not about the two of them, but it's about the next step in the journey for both of them. So their characters are developing further, but not necessarily with each other. You know, I think that could actually work where we see kind of Vader, you know, deal with things in a different way, you know, and become the character that we kind of know him in the OT, and Obi-Wan starting to become that character that is the Alec Guinness character as well.
I just had the most possible worst idea, maybe the worst idea possible that they might do. What if season two is partially Kenobi getting his Qui-Gon training, but then Kenobi and what's her name? The
Reva,
him kind of helping her find her inner peace, and even sending her on a revenge mission against something like that. What if they
Obi-Wan wouldn't send her on a revenge mission? He would try to stop her doing that.
Yeah, but I'm saying like that, she like her own one. Yes. Like that type of deal. Like,
I think Reva needs to get her own story. That's the honest truth about it. I mean, I think if they want to use Reva as a character, sorry, I'm just fixing my seats lately here. Then make a Reva show and show her new path, the path that she goes on, which is her own story now and is no longer connected to Obi-Wan Kenobi or Anakin Skywalker, but as her going on her own path. That would be interesting to me. I would watch that, you know. It's not really connected to the main story that's going on in the series, so they could kind of go in a lot of different directions that don't affect the canon really in any way or in that, you know. So the kind of imagination, if you like, is limitless. You could put her in a situation where you think she's trying to get better, and you could have her take a turn for the dark again, you know what I mean? Or you could go the other way, you know, you could play with that kind of situation. You could have her that she tries, but kind of it goes back to what Yoda said in terms of, you know, once you start down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny. And it's like kind of like it keeps pulling her back in, you know, because the whole point is it's difficult, you know, the Jedi, once they've made that jump, they can't just, oh, I've changed my mind, I'm going to be a Jedi again. It's unique when Anakin does it, you know. That's not normal for that to happen. That's kind of the whole point of the series, you know what I mean? That his redemption was unheard of kind of thing. So, yeah, there's definitely a story there, but I think putting them all together again, nope. Don't like it.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary at all, and it just bogs us down again and in between episodes 3 and 4, and I'm done with that era. I know we're getting Andor. I really hope it's good and golden as it looks and appears it'll be.
It doesn't feel like it'll affect the canon and the overall Skywalker saga story, does it? You know,
it doesn't. And it's got the potential to show you and I something we've really wanted to see, you know politics and inner working of the Senate during the Empire and things like that. But it does come with that kind of like same issue that Palpatine has now, that I'm so burned out on its timeline, how I'm burned out on Palpatine because of Rise of Skywalker. I'm done with stuff between 3 and 4, so it's got that working against it, but thankfully the subject matter and the kind of tone and look and feel of it makes me feel better.
Yeah,
so we'll see how it what shakes loose of it. Any other thoughts on that?
Not really, you know, I mean, I think we will get another Obi-Wan Kenobi story. I think it's almost a guarantee. You know, I'd put the mortgage on it, you know, at this point, that it will happen at some point.
Don't want it.
I just hope if they're going to do it, that it's just a completely different thing from what they did before, you know, and just give us a completely different story and focus on Obi-Wan, if that's what you're going to do. If you want to do something with Vader, do something separate with Vader after the fact or something, I don't know. But
I've always got that fear that they'll do a Vader show and everyone, oh my God, you got a fear because of how much stuff they've already done in the comics. And I still don't see Disney ever adapting a story from a book or a comic into a movie or series, because they'll look at that as, no, we'll just do this other thing loosely connected so we can spawn more things off of it. I don't think we'll ever see any type of a serious adaptation of anything printed. I don't.
It's a shame, because actually what they should do is, as I've said, kind of something Shadows of the Empire. Take away the Luke Han stuff, but Shadows of the Empire, and just give us the Vader, Palpatine political shit that's going on with the criminal underworld, and give us a show on that, and Vader's underlings are the people, I wouldn't say that he trusts, but the people who work directly for him, you know, we get to see them as characters and things like that as well. I think that can work, but
it'd be great to.
I don't know if they've got the guts to go and do something like that.
It'd be great to get some Dr. Aphra stuff from the first arc of comics. Those were really good, but again, it's stuff that's already been told. So many comics they've done what, like 6-7 years of Vader at this point. It's just it comes to the,
because
it comes to the,
oh, this is what's going to happen, because you know we know the comic, and I think they just wouldn't do it. Yeah.
And not only that, but we know what happens and where Vader is going to end up in episodes 4, 5, and 6. So
funnily enough,
it's time to move. It's time to move on. Just like it's time to move on to our next story. Ooh, look at that—a segue. It was awesome. Darth Plagueis, we talked about this bastard last week, and now we got to talk about his crummy old ass again. Cam, so, what's the latest?
Okay, so this same source of people who gave out the genuine leak for Tales of the Jedi, which we've not discussed that leak here because we know it is genuine, and therefore it's got some serious spoilers if you want to watch that show. But, you know, you'll find the details online if you just used your whatever your preferred search engine is. I'm sure it wouldn't take long if you're that way inclined. But they've also been making some claims that they've seen material from the Acolyte. Most of what we've heard about is some sort of artistic impressions, some sort of pre-vis art that's been done and everything like that, that they say that they've seen. But they did make the claim, as we talked about more extensively than we will this week, last week, that Darth Plagueis would be involved in the show. Perhaps another hint towards that is the latest bit of information that they have brought out says that the Mun homeworld will be featured in the Acolyte, and that they claim to have seen art shown this Mun homeworld, and that it's definitely Mun because we've seen it before and animated, you know, so we right. can identify it. Now, the connection, what's the connection between that is, and remember Plagueis, there was a Darth Plagueis book, and that mm-hmm. was at one point canon, you know, until
yeah.
Disney bought it and changed the canon and Legends all went away. And he was a Mun, which is the same characters that are the banking clan that we see in the prequels, you know, big kind of head, grey looking guys. So with them saying Plagueis is involved and then saying the Mun homeworld is in it, you kind of think, okay, is there a connection there? Does two make, you know, plus two equal four in this situation? It's possible. I can't tell you whether that's the case or not. I can't even tell you whether these people are genuine or that they're people who did get one leak and then decided to make some other stuff after that because they had credit. I mean, that's as little as I know at this point. My suspicion is that they are on the level, but, you know, that doesn't really, it's still not a lot of context there to go on. So in what capacity would we see Plagueis? Would we see him before he is Plagueis? You know, would we see, you know, I have no idea at this point, really. So so it's a possible connection, but it might be absolutely nothing as well.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to have him, and we know they wanted to tug at the stuff from Sith and Old Republic and really, really early, like, Fall of the Republic. We from Legends, we know they've wanted to borrow some of that stuff. And having it take place in this in between the Fall and the High Republic makes sense. I mean, mm-hmm. it'd be a fun little Easter egg for the Republic and Old Republic era fans of the EU. I was always a big fan of the post Jedi EU stories mostly. I liked continuing on more than exploring the past. But I mean, I've always been the one saying that the EU is money on the table. Like, Disney just left money on the table because there was a built-in fan base that they could have delivered stuff to. And instead, they tried to forsake it. And then all of a sudden, a few years later, they're like, oh, by the way, remember that EU thing you guys loved so much? Let's start putting out trade paperback-sized, you know.
Pieces from it.
Yeah.
But doing their own thing with it. You know, so they take a character that was popular, but they tell their own story. Kind of like how Timothy Zahn's now wrote new Thrawn books.
New Thrawn, because
his old Thrawn books were no longer canon, so he's now written actual canon ones. You could probably argue they are better, you know. I've only read one of his
That's all Thrawn I needed was so the one, the first one that he wrote. And it's kinda like, I don't need it. Give me air. Dark Force and Last Command. That's all I need.
Yeah, I quite like them.
That's all, you know, I need.
I haven't read them in a long time, but I remember quite enjoying them as the EU books back in the day when I was younger, 100%. So, yeah, I don't know, but maybe Plagueis is going to show up. We don't know, but that is the kind of rumor that's flying about just now, anyway. And maybe there's some more weight to add to it, and it will be a Mun after all. Other than that, we'll just have to wait and see till it, you know, actually goes into production, and then we might you know, get a bit more information about it, whether it be through leaks or some official things that have come out about the show as well.
Yeah, it's, I have nothing against it whatsoever. It's one of those things to where you could easily put it in, not harm, not do any harm. Please, fans, and without it being super cheesy,
mm-hmm.
like just fan casting half the multiverse of madness from Reddit.
Yeah, I mean, no.
It's not that bad. Anyways.
I mean, we've talked about it before, but I like it when Star Wars goes darker.
Yeah.
So therefore, I'm more excited about the projects that could go in a dark direction, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was up to me, everything would go in a darker direction with Star Wars. I don't like it too lighthearted, you know.
But you don't.
Because to me, it was
wanna,
a serious story.
Yeah, you don't want a horror. A horror movie
no,
set on Death America.
Because horror is not serious to me. Lame.
You don't want dark.
I don't get.
You don't
know,
want
don't
dark.
Like horror yeah. movies, particularly, they're not serious to me. The only horror movie I like was like Friday the 13th because it was implied that, you know, Michael Myers might be supernatural, but really it was just a guy with a knife,
you mean
which is kind of
Jason?
Horrifying.
Which one?
What did I say?
Okay,
Halloween.
You said Friday.
Friday the 13th is horrible. That's shit. I don't know why I said that. Halloween is genuinely, the original Halloween is a really good film. But I'm really struggle when it comes to, I've watched a lot of horrors, but you know, I'm not, yeah. just, I don't get it. I don't get scared. I just think it's silly.
Not your thing. It's all right. You know? Anyways, guys, that'll do it for us today here on the Cantina. If you liked what you heard, we got a crap ton more available at lrmonline.com. Not only will you find links to all of our podcasts here on the side, you'll also find written reviews, news articles, opinions, things ranging from comics to Marvel, horror, anime, everything in entertainment and geek pop culture. You can find that all there, as well as celebrity interviews available from the LRM YouTube channel. For the podcast, we're at all of your big podcast sites like Apple and Google, Spotify. We are changing our distribution, though, away from SoundCloud. We will be uploading to SoundCloud through the 26th, but after that, it'll just be the back catalog, 26 August and before. We are using Sounder now, so genreverse.sounder.fm. If you do listen via Sounder, if not, you're on Apple or Google, any of those types of things. Nothing changes. All the content still shows up for you guys. No changes. So Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, we're doing our She-Hulk reviews. That's already up. Daily Cog and Breaking Geek Radio both do a little bit of everything, cover everything in entertainment. And Animeversal Reviews does, well, what it says. And then, of course, we're all available on the YouTube channel. In video format, as well as the AVR2 anime reactions and genre shot trailer reactions. So yeah, check all of that out. Subscribe, share, all that. Cam, anything you want to say?
Just check out lrmonline.com. Just kind of more my side of things, because we'll be trying to cover all the possible news stories that we can. We will have interviews on there as well with various different people, because our interview team just never stop. They're always interviewing people. You know, if you're making
No Rest for the Wicked.
If you're making a movie, they will speak to you. That's kind of how it goes. They're always out there buzzing the carpets and speaking to people online, etc., etc. So, you know, feel free to come check all that out. But we are also covering all the big franchise rumours and big breaking stories about things released as well. So please come over and check us out and let us know if there's stuff that we should be covering more of that you want, whether it on the podcast, whether it on the stories that we cover, or sometimes just tell us what you like as well. That would be nice sometimes, because everybody likes that.
Yep, sure do. All right, guys, that's going to do it. We're out of here. Well, and may the force be with you. I almost forgot what I was supposed to say.
redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.